Hello everyone, and welcome back to Going Purple with me, Lizzie McIntosh, where we get to talk about serious F1 stuff in a not so serious way. Hello everyone, I hope you're all doing well. 2 days before the first Grand Prix of the season. It's race week, people. I am going to get used to saying that again very, very easily. I am very excited, but I am even more excited because today I bring you a really cool bonus March podcast episode with a very special guest. I met this guest around a month ago at the Aston Martin car launch. I don't know if I've mentioned that I went to the Aston Martin car launch. For anyone who didn't know, I'm joking. I won't shut up about it. I apologise. But since then, me and her have become very good friends, and I am of course talking about the one and only F1 Hannah. She is one of the most gracious, gentle, but insightful people I've had the pleasure of meeting along my career pathway so far, and it was really nice to sit down with someone that I consider a friend in this space just for a big casual chat. Honestly, we chatted for over an hour and a half, and I have gone through the footage. Don't worry, I have weaved out the best bits, and hopefully it feels like we're all just having a nice chat together about the season. We ask each other questions, we both give our insights into certain things, we talk about content creation and how we both came to be in the spaces we are in now. We talk about women in motorsport and the women we look up to in motorsport. We talk about our season predictions, of course. And then we answer a few questions that you guys sent in to us on Instagram, which is something I want to start doing more of because it was really, really nice to have you all involved in this episode as well. As I say in the intro of my podcast, we get to talk about serious F1 stuff in a not so serious way, and that's never been truer than in this episode. We honestly just had a big heart-to-heart, basically an F1 heart-to-heart. So without further ado, I won't keep you waiting any longer. I hope you enjoy our chat. Hannah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I'm really excited for this episode because I feel like we're going to be able to be much more chatty.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about Drive to Survive as well.
Of course we are. Oh, actually, what great timing. We are filming this the day after Drive to Survive has come out. Have you finished it now?
I have watched episode 1 to 6.
Hannah, what are you doing?
I know.
What are you doing?
I know, it's not very content creator.
Where's the dedication?
Of me, is it? Yeah. I know. I watch episodes. How many episodes is there? 10?
10 episodes.
I watch 6 through 10 tonight.
That's her Saturday night, sort of. I have now finished Drive to Survive.
Okay.
I have thoughts.
Honestly, I don't mind if you spoil it for me.
No, I won't do that for you. But talking about being a content creator,
segue.
Before I start rambling, I would love to ask you a couple of questions about your route into being a content creator. You've been doing this a lot longer than I have, as we know.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to set up the camera earlier.
Yeah.
So I would actually love for you to talk me through how you got into content creation, and specifically on F1, like, how do you land up in the niche of F1 TikTok?
Yeah, it's a big niche. So in school, I was always obsessed with YouTubers. Mm-hmm. I loved YouTubers, you know, like Zoella, Pointless Blog,
of course,
Alfie Days. So I always grew up watching that, and I literally wanted to be Zoella. I loved her. I loved her videos, and I was like, I want to be Zoella. So I started a YouTube channel when I was 13.
My gosh.
I know.
I love it.
I know, it was very bold of me.
What was the content you were putting out?
The content was Zoella's content, but me doing it. It was haul videos. I did makeup tutorials.
Did you? I want to see those.
They're all on private, so don't even try finding them. I did all of that, basically Zoella stuff,
okay.
Like product reviews. I was really into makeup back then. Mm-hmm. I feel like now I'm more into fashion, less so makeup.
Okay.
But I made those videos consistently, until I was present, until now, until I was 18. I still made them, just not so much.
Okay.
And then growing up, did my YouTube videos, was here and there on Instagram, didn't, wasn't really growing, but that's
fine. Instagram's hard to grow on.
It is. Easier now because of Reels, but it's still difficult. I'll explain this to you later.
Give me a masterclass.
And then fast forward to 2021, I went to Silverstone.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, well, we'll talk about how we got into F1 later. Yep. But went to F1. I went to Silverstone 2021. That was my first race. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, loved it. So I already loved the sport, mm-hmm. but seeing it live, seeing the cars, like, close up, I was like, this is...
Like, there's nothing like it.
Exactly. You know? I just had to be a part of it. I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. And before I went to Silverstone, I was not on F1 TikTok. Okay. I didn't... The only, like, video that... I would have the odd, like, Tomo F1 video pop up in my recommended on YouTube.
Okay.
But that was it. There was no, like, community or anything.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And then after Silverstone, I started liking more F1 stuff on TikTok because mm-hmm. it came up more. And then I was just surrounded by all these F1 videos. And I was like, oh my goodness, I love this. I want to do it too.
Yeah.
And so I just started, I think 2 weeks after Silverstone 2021, I started making F1 TikToks. And here we are.
Crazy. I think about the sounds last summer. With like the Jeffrey Bezos sound.
Oh my goodness,
I remember I made a video about that. And like... The Tim, little mama, you're such a loser.
Oh my goodness.
I'm so nostalgic for that time, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, like, just from then, I completely agree with you. I think at that point, there weren't actually that many content creators on the app making F1 content.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is it? Not even 6 months later. That's not
true. About 10 months. That? Around 9 months later?
8 to 10 months later.
Yeah, around that, yeah.
It's so different. Yeah. The amount of people I see pop up with like F1 and then their name or like, you know.
I'm guilty for that, by the way.
You set the trend.
I definitely didn't. I was like, oh my, I saw these F1 people come up and they all was like F1. Emily, I'm just making this up by the way, I don't know F1 Emily.
F1 Emily, hey.
Or F1 Ellie, she's a big content creator. And I thought she was like one of the first content creators I followed.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it seems to be the trend. Seems to be how it goes. So I just did F1 Hannah and I just kept it.
Well, I mean, because of how much TikTok has changed since you started, what challenges do you think that presents? Being a content creator in, as we say, a very niche space.
Mm.
Everyone's watching the same races, obviously.
Yeah.
How do you find that that's changed in the last, as we say, 8 to 10 months?
I feel like there aren't many challenges because I feel like the only... I feel like...
All right.
No. Literally, I'm like just completely...
I'm joking.
Forget about the question you just asked. No.
Actually, I'm perfect and I don't find it hard.
I mean... Okay.
I'm joking.
I'm not talking personally.
I'm red now.
Me seeing my cheeks are so bright. Anyway. So I'm not actually speaking for me personally, but in general... F1 TikTok growing and F1 in general growing as a sport, I feel like doesn't have many negatives at all.
Yeah.
The only negative I can like pick from it is that it's so hard to think of original content.
Yeah, I get you.
And not like, I would always at someone or inspiration someone if I like stole their idea. Or steal is a strong word.
Sometimes you don't mean to steal.
Yeah, but I was talking to another F1 creator
right.
a few months ago. A few months ago, and it came to light that I accidentally made the same video as her without knowing.
Oh, really?
And obviously, it was not a problem at all. She's a great friend. But it was just interesting to me how that F1 is so niche that there's only a certain amount of videos you can make.
True, or it's like I have a bit of a bone to pick with TikTok as an app because. I love the app, as in I love the concept. I just sometimes find it's not the most user-friendly app. Mm. So even videos that I was making, you know, last September, last August, I would love for those to be able to be readily available because it's like sometimes you've had an idea for a long time, but now people are starting to pick up on it and it's things like the playlist feature not being that readily available, things like that, you know.
That's actually a really good point that I haven't thought of before. It's like the videos that you post 6 months ago never get
just get
seen.
Lost
yeah
and then you'll kind of try and redirect someone to like I made a video all about downfalls but it was last August. Well, I'm not going to spend the time going through, you know.
Yeah.
Or I made a video about the tires and that everyone's talking about the tires, but if you want to go see my video on that, just scroll for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do that either.
Yeah.
And I think actually TikTok is a really weird one in, I mean, obviously you've done YouTube, but I do think TikTok is strange in the fact that if I'm making a video that's very, very info-based, sometimes if I'm going to do overlays, I'm going to do edits, whatever, I'm going to write the script for it, that can take me up to 3 hours to do. And obviously, fully understand, like, that's, it's only 3 minutes, you know, yeah. like making a YouTube video that could be up to 20 minutes, it's yeah. much harder, but people expect that content every day, whereas maybe with your favorite YouTuber, you expect 2 videos a week or a video yeah. a week, and as I say, you know, YouTube is a lot longer and there are much more edits you can do to a video, but just that constant stream of I should be getting 1 to 2 videos up a day, it's hard,
yeah,
especially over the winter break.
Exactly. And also I feel like it comes with a little bit of pressure, TikTok, yeah. because yeah. you don't have to upload every day, but I feel yeah. like people tell you if you want to grow on TikTok, yeah. you have to upload every day or twice a day or something. And then if you miss a day of uploading, it's like you might be doing other things, you might be busy,
yeah.
but in the back of your mind, it's like, oh, well, I should be keeping consistent on this app. But it's yeah. hard to think of a new video every day.
100%.
Which is why starting a series is such a good idea,
yeah.
I feel like.
But I think that's like was really shown in Drive to Survive when we were talking the other day and we were like, we've got to get the content out there as soon as possible. And you said something to me that was just like, duh. You were like, just enjoy it. You want to watch the show. So enjoy it, like take that time to enjoy it for yourself. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
And that's like, also it's crazy, like the races. I know watching a race is like comfort to me, but then you're like thinking, oh, what can I say about this? Or how can I analyze what's just happened?
Yeah.
It is tricky, but it's also a nice challenge, I think.
Yeah, definitely. You and know? With races, like you said, I feel like races, I obviously still look forward to
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, but part in the back of my mind when I'm watching a race, I'm like, oh, that would be a good TikTok.
Yeah.
Or that would be this. And then as soon as the race is finished, I feel this rush of like, get your videos up.
Yeah.
If you want them to do well, then you've got to be the first one. But it's like, I feel like that's ridiculous. Like, I somewhat is true. If you want to get your video to like bang, you should be the first one to do it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I'd rather just enjoy a race,
yeah.
not worry about it. Next day, if I think of a good video idea, then put it up. But and unfortunately, actually, that doesn't work out sometimes.
Do you know what's so funny about that is I think, to me, as I grow as a content creator, I realise the importance of having consistent content. And this is something I want to ask you about as well, because I know after a race, I know what I'm expecting from certain content creators. I know that from you, I'm expecting like a Grand Prix in 6 seconds, and I look forward to that. You know, I hope that like my race recaps are something that people, you know, look forward to. And I think there's something to be said for having a bit of a brand or a personal brand on TikTok. And I think even, you know, if you work hard and you've been in, and you're in it for the long game, people will come back to you. It won't just be who gets their video up first. It will
yeah.
be how valuable is your content as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to know your thoughts about whether you think it's important to build a personal brand, if you will, on TikTok in this space.
Yeah, I think it's definitely important. I mean, you need to have some sort of thing that differentiates you from other people.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking like if you want to build a career in this. I feel like our advice on what we're talking about now, if you just post TikToks because you love it,
yeah,
who cares what you post?
Oh, 100%. And that's not me saying like you have to fit into certain guidelines,
yeah.
but it's just something I think about more, I think. But yeah, you're right. If you're just posting because it's like so funny, I love that as well.
Yeah. But then on the other hand, if you do want to build a brand and stuff like that, I
yeah.
feel like it's important to be different to others, because if you're not, then you'll just blend in.
Yeah.
And if you want to build a brand, you don't want to blend in, you know?
But then it's so hard to think about like being different when
yeah.
everyone's trying to be different. And I think that maybe is something to do with our generation.
Mm.
We all think we need to like have this brand.
Yeah.
When actually, like, you don't at all.
I feel like when growing up on YouTube and stuff, I feel like Zoella, I use them as examples all the time just because
yeah.
they're, you know, big YouTubers from like 2014. It wasn't so much the norm. And I
yeah.
feel like people grew up watching people like that, and YouTube started, I mean, for me anyway, I
mm-hmm.
saw YouTube getting big in like 2012 to 2016
mm-hmm.
kind of time. Now compared to that time, it's like everyone can do it.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a phone, everyone's got TikTok,
mm-hmm.
everyone's got all of these social medias that they can freely post whatever they want to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
But whereas before, I feel like it was, maybe it was just because I was in this niche YouTube space, but I felt like it was just like Zoella, that's it.
But even within that niche, like I look at the YouTubers I watched, I knew like Tanya Burr was the one I'd go to like watch makeup videos.
Oh my
video.
Goodness, yeah, Tanya
but
Burr.
Zoella, I watch her hauls. But you know, you did go to them for different things, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But then equally, I agree, like it's so easy for everyone to be a content creator now, which I love.
Yeah.
I mean, the term content creator blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that like, people leave their jobs to become content creators.
That didn't exist 5 years ago.
What do you
really
think about the word influencer?
I don't know.
I'm not a fan of it, but
I think some people are truly influencers, like Matilda Jerv.
That is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But if there's like a movement behind someone, like her clothes and her curtain bangs, for example.
Oh, I know who you mean. Now you said curtain bangs.
Exactly.
I know who you mean.
So I would say she's an influencer, but yeah. I think the term is thrown around a little bit too loosely, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I feel like when the word influencer started being talked about and said, I thought, ooh, I don't really like that.
Mm.
Just because it was like, it seemed like a throwaway comment. Oh, she's just an influencer.
Yeah, or, but why do you think that is?
I don't know. For some reason, it literally means, well, to be fair, it doesn't mean the same thing, but I feel like the word influencer and the word content creator, I much prefer content creator.
Yeah, and someone called me an influencer. And I was like...
How did it make you feel?
I don't know. I was like, am I an influencer? I just create content about something I really like.
The word influencer to me is like, okay... The amount of times I've said Zoella in this podcast, you but I'm going to say it again. Like, when I used to watch them growing up, if she was, like, wearing something or she ate something, I'd be like, oh my days, I want to try it. I want to be like her.
I know what you mean. And I have people like that now. Yeah. Influencers that I'm like, I love her way of life. Or so I like feel her like, outlook. That's powerful to be able to persuade someone to think a certain way.
Yeah, and they're influencing us. So, to a certain extent, it's like, that makes sense.
Meta.
That makes sense.
But then it's like... If we're being called influencers, but then we're being influenced.
Yeah.
But those people are also being influenced. Basically. The whole world, even without social media, people would be influencers.
Mm.
My mum is an influencer. She's like made me think the way I have for 22 years.
Oh my goodness, yeah, you know? Literally.
My mum would love being called an influencer. Well, obviously the F1 season is about to start again.
Yeah.
And as you say, there's so many new people in F1, new fans. It's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think content creators are actually pretty crucial in the functioning of Formula One as, you know, in terms of their media output, in terms of the fan engagement and interaction?
Mm-hmm.
What do you actually think that's adding into the mix?
I feel like that word that you said, engagement, is so important because... You know, F1 TikTok is so powerful.
Yeah.
I feel like there's hundreds and hundreds. I don't know, maybe there's thousands of creators. I haven't counted them all myself. But there's so many creators making content about F1.
Mm.
After every, Drive to Survive, everyone's talking about Drive to Survive. It's such good advertisement for Drive to Survive.
Why do you not think that was happening on Instagram?
That's a really good point. Maybe it's harder to make. Maybe, I feel like a lot of people see Instagram as something that's a lot more professional than TikTok.
True, and actually, on that, I think the For You page is revolutionary.
Expand.
I was saying that, and I was like, is that a real word?
Of course.
It is. On Instagram, sure, you have the Explore page, but as you're scrolling, all you're seeing is your most interacted with people that you follow. So the people that you want to see the most, you'll see. So it's like an echo chamber almost. You're seeing the same content all the time. Whereas on TikTok, if I go through my For You page, I'm going to see like 50 Drive to Survive videos. And I think there's something, as you say, about being Instagram being professional. I think it's way less daunting, actually, in some ways to post on TikTok.
Yeah.
It's funny. There's funny sounds. You can gauge the vibe of someone's video very quickly. Mm. And the For You page is great. I don't have to search up #DriveToSurvive. It's just going to come up because that's, you know, what I like to see.
I feel like TikTok is a judgment-free zone.
Do you?
To a certain extent.
I would disagree.
Maybe I think I'm talking in comparison to Instagram. Maybe.
Really? I would say it's the opposite.
Really?
Maybe people don't comment on my Instagram.
I feel like because my personal Instagram, it's not a personal Instagram, but on my normal Instagram.
Yeah.
I would definitely post a reel of one of my TikToks.
Yeah.
But maybe not my... like funny TikTok sound videos.
Yeah.
Just because, I don't know, I just feel like I want to be more.
It's harder to.
It's hard.
It's very easy to be very mysterious on Instagram.
That's so true.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas on TikTok, you're mouthing to like material girls for them.
Material girl.
Honestly, in like slow mo. It's quite
funny.
Honestly,
I love that sound.
Me too. The thing about engagement is that F1 does a great job of getting new fans involved, but I don't think they actually do a lot to keep them there.
No, it's us that do it.
And I'm kind of like, are we working for free?
Yeah,
You know,
that is actually a really good point. I haven't thought about that before.
Try to survive. Okay, well, now I'm going to watch next season. But then, you know, where is F1 saying, hey, this is what a blue flag is. Hey, let's talk about this in a really fun way. What's a team principle? Mm. Well, honestly, TikTok is my Google at the moment. Yeah. So if I don't understand something, I'm probably going to TikTok it. Oh my God, is TikTok a verb? I don't know.
We just made it a verb.
But, you know, we create the content that I would like to think keeps people engaged and interested. And I mean, I love doing it, yeah. So I will continue to do it.
Mm.
But I think that's where F1 could either work with us or change their content output as well.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that's something I'd love to see in the future is a change and a bit of a shake-up in F1 social media. And we'll talk about the Aston Martin launch in a little bit. But that was insane that they kind of said, yeah, we're going to work with these content creators.
Yeah.
Good. We're in agreement.
I literally didn't have anything to add there.
Okay.
I felt you hit the nail on the head.
Thanks, babe. Oh, we're going to move on to the broad topic of women in motorsport.
Mm.
The reason I bring this up is because a lot of questions came in about being a woman in motorsports, and it's something I feel very passionate about. Now, I think it's interesting, and I'd love to ask you about how you feel about being asked often about being a woman in motorsport. And a lot of the time when people approach me for really cool opportunities, or lots and lots of girls in my emails, my DMs, it's often to ask me about, hi, I'm writing an essay, or I'm writing an article about women in motorsport, and I want to ask you about why there aren't more females in motorsport, or why there's a gender imbalance in F1. But I just wonder whether we'll ever be able to have these kind of labels, if you will, without the aspect of being a woman being included in that.
I feel like I would love and hope that there will be a time in the future where we're just seen as those things instead of a woman doing those things.
Without gender being brought into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, there's a stereotype the stereotype is women don't know enough, or women aren't good enough for this or that or the other. That's a stereotype, and that's kind of been implemented in people's minds from the past.
Yeah. I would say it's not just implemented in people's minds from the past, but also from the present. You know, where is the female representation on the F1 grid? Yes, there are incredible women in the W Series, and, you know, Jamie Chadwick in a role at Williams. And sadly, I think sometimes it's great to talk about certain things. It really is. But until we see that being implemented in real life, it is going to be hard to imagine a world where women are drivers. You know, women are team principals. I'm aware that Claire Williams was the Williams team principal, but every single Formula One team principal at the moment is a man.
Mm.
You know, most of the engineers are men.
Yeah.
And so it's great we can say, like, yeah, of course women are going to be involved in motorsport. This is why they should be. But in a way, I slightly feel like we're preaching to the choir. And until these women take up these spaces, which just should happen, there's no excuse for them not to be in these spaces, I think it's going to take a little bit more work until it's just the norm, you know?
Yeah.
And building up that norm can only really happen with action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I would love to see a woman F1 driver. Mm-hmm. I was talking to someone about it a few months ago, and I was saying I would love in my lifetime to see a woman F1 driver.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, why in my lifetime? Why can't it be in 5 years?
We're living longer,
babe. I know. It's like, why can't it be 5 years' time or 10 years' time? Not my lifetime. I want to see it soon.
This morning, maybe Jamie Chadwick will get signed with an F3 team.
I love Jamie
Chadwick. In the next couple of years.
Yeah.
I think she's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the women in motorsport that you look up to?
Right. One name, Susie Wolf. Yes. We were speaking about Susie Wolf earlier. We obviously watched Drive to Survive yesterday. I love her.
Me too.
I just love her. She came across so well. The things she was saying, I was just like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
agree with you. Love you.
I agree.
Want to be your friend.
She was just so succinct in the way she was talking.
Yeah,
And she's really so successful in her own right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the queen, Natalie Pinkham.
Oh, my goodness,
She just seems like the most personable woman.
She, okay, watching F1 for the first time, she was the first woman I saw on my TV.
Really?
Yeah. And I just loved her. Amazing. She's just great.
I know.
She's amazing.
I agree. I would love to see more young women in the industry as well. And the reason I say that is because I think we forget how young Formula One drivers are.
Yes.
There's probably some that are younger than us. Maybe.
Yeah, I think Yuki Tsunoda. How old is Yuki Tsunoda?
Siri,
how old? Yuki. Oh my goodness, my most recent search is Susie Wolf age. I was just curious, okay?
The how one to get that... over Susie Wolf obsession is my next search.
My search before that was Toto Wolf age. Now my search is Yuki Tsunoda age. He's 21.
He's younger than us.
He is older than me, Lissy.
Oh, he's so young. And yeah. He's so successful.
Of course.
I'm just saying, having more young women in Formula One, in the space, asking questions, you know, on the grid, whatever, being journalists, it would be really interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a couple of predictions. It's time.
Let me get my notes up out.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about your just predictions for the season. And then we're going to do something cool.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, let's start with Mercedes.
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 Speaking of Mercedes, they put out a statement today.
They did indeed. They like to keep us on our toes, Mercedes.
They do.
Lewis is, he's a bit of a media mastermind.
He is.
You know?
Shall I read out the statement?
Go for it.
At the moment, I don't think we'll be competing for wins, but there is potential within our car to get us there.
But equally, like, kind of part of me is like, duh. Like, you're not testing. You know, of course your car is going to change.
But also, I think we both know Mercedes tend to do this every year.
Yeah.
Our car is, you know, it's not looking
retired,
good.
The car's not looking good. Boom. Nine Constructors' Championships. This year would be nine.
Okay, yeah. Because that's what I was thinking.
No, listen. Mercedes, I predict some mega tension in the form of George Russell. I think saying goodbye to Valtteri was a huge risk for them, in the sense that he was such a consistent teammate. He was a good teammate, reliable. Some of the moves he pulled last season just to get Lewis, you know, up there winning races, fighting for that championship. It's tricky bringing in such a young driver who clearly knows he's like the next big thing at Mercedes. Is he going to be a bit of a wild card, do we think?
I think he's going to go for it.
I think he's going to go for it a little too much.
If it gets to a point where Lewis is fighting like he was last season, he might have to just step back a bit.
I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see him doing
but
that.
But then equally, I'm sure Toto's had a chat with him.
Yeah, obviously.
So George, you know, don't get too big with it.
Exactly. I feel like he's just going to go for it from the get-go, and I love that.
Yeah, me too. And actually, I think from what Valtteri was saying, you know, he was always on 1 year contracts at Mercedes, and I don't think that's too rare, but it's a little bit unnerving in the sense of, I don't even know if this is going to be my last year with the team.
Yeah.
And I understand them keeping those options open, but I think he was saying, even from his first season, he was like, I have to throw everything at this, and he maybe overdid it a little bit too much because of that uncertainty. But George's, I think he signed a 2 year deal, two or three, I forget. But hopefully, I hope they'll be good teammates.
I think, I mean, from what we've seen so far, which is minimal, they seem like they'd get on.
I know.
You know?
I mean, it's just tricky, right? Like, now I think seeing Carlos and Charles with Ferrari, I really think the Ferrari is going to do great things this season.
Yeah.
I actually would even see Red Bull taking a back step. I don't know why, I just have a feeling. And
I have the same
feeling.
And possibly
Ferrari and Mercedes going head-to-head.
Yeah. It's so funny you say this, because my two teams that I thought would have the biggest rivalry between teammates is Mercedes with George and Lewis, and Ferrari with Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz. And I say that because I feel like if Ferrari are as good as everyone says and thinks they will be this season, if they are actually battling for wins every race, if they're That'd battling for the championship, it would be very cool.
Yeah.
I feel like the tension would grow, because both the drivers want to win.
Yeah.
They both want to be the world champion. And if Ferrari like last season, they seemed to have got on really, really well. From the outside, it seemed like Leclerc and Sainz got on really well.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they did, but, you know, I can't know for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were also in a car that wasn't... No one really knew how it was going to be mm-hmm. because the season before was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now it looks good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Will it become more tense because they're yeah. fighting for more things?
Agreed. And actually, maybe even more tense because I do think Charles Leclerc is like seen as Ferrari's future. They are maybe the same way that Lando is McLaren's golden boy, if you will. I do think that that was what Charles Leclerc was when he signed for Ferrari. On such a big contract. Obviously, now they've brought Carlos Sainz in. And actually, it was difficult last season because I think Carlos Sainz really just took it and ran with it. And that's not to say that Charles didn't. But, you know, a lot of people were saying maybe Carlos Sainz is the underdog of Ferrari.
Mm.
And then maybe that's awkward for Charles Leclerc because, you know, he was, you know, supposed to be the huge name at Ferrari. And as you say, now with the car,
mm-hmm.
well, both of them are going to be fighting for it. What's going to happen yeah. there?
I don't think anyone expected Carlos to be as good as he was yeah. last season.
That Abu Dhabi podium,
oh,
for me,
so
was
underrated.
The sweetener to that race because yeah. it was a tricky race.
It was. It was a tricky race. Will we talk about it?
We will.
We will.
I think it's been spoken about now.
So much.
So much.
That's so true, to be honest.
I've watched Duel, I've watched Drive to Survive, I have rewatched races from last season. I cannot watch Abu Dhabi one more time.
No, absolutely.
It just honestly blows my mind what happened.
I know.
The only thing I will say about Abu Dhabi, I completely believe that Max deserved that championship. I do. He was, you know, he was many, many laps led ahead than Lewis, whatever. He was performing so incredibly well, but you cannot tell me that Lewis wasn't robbed in that last race. Just that
he
last
race. He absolutely was robbed.
You know?
Yeah. I feel like on the whole, I'm quite a neutral person.
Me too.
But I actually felt heartbroken for Lewis.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I prefer Lewis on the whole.
Yeah, give us the inside scoop.
I know. I think I'm more of a Lewis fan than a Max fan.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say I'm a fan of either, if that makes any sense.
Ouch.
I know. No. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Well, talking about McLaren then.
Mm.
I mean, we'll talk about Drive to Survive shortly, but I think it's interesting. I really do. This driver pairing that everyone thought was going to be like electric and like best mates.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, they're also like each other's biggest competitors.
Yeah.
What do we think is going to happen this season?
I feel like even though people... I think they're the same as every other driver duo on the grid.
Really?
But everyone just has so many expectations
yeah.
for them.
Especially after Monza.
Yeah.
You know.
But everyone was saying that everyone felt tension before Monza. And then after Monza, they felt like they were getting on more. But I'm not going to listen
surprised.
To any of that because I feel like... I didn't think that they didn't get on before.
I think it's just, you're right, we all expected them to be like best mates mm-hmm. because obviously Carlos and Lando are quite close
mm.
and it's Danny Rick and Lando, like they're both quite funny.
Yeah.
But then why are we expecting so much of them when they're kind of just there to race as well?
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, everyone loves both of them. Yeah. So when they were put together, everyone was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But just let them do them.
And actually, I think there's something to be said for just like way calmer driver pairings as well.
Mm.
Like
who's the most like discreet driver pairing on the grid, do you think?
What do you mean?
Like the duo that just doesn't do anything. Like they don't have controversy, they
maybe,
don't overly like each other.
Maybe Sebastian and Lance.
Yeah.
You know.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Or,
weird question.
Or
but.
Fernando and Esteban. But then equally I think they seemed very, very happy for each other.
Yeah.
And I think it's always really nice when you see like an older driver and like a younger driver together
mm-hmm.
and giving that advice, and you can see that there's a nice relationship. Well, talking about the best of the rest, is that what they call it?
Mm-hmm.
Formula One.
Best of the rest.
I would say, let's talk about the team that was just not shown in Drive to Survive, Aston Martin.
Aston Martin.
They were just getting no airtime.
I know.
Jack Wolff got more airtime. I don't think Lance Stroll was even in it.
No, I don't remember.
No. I think they could do really well this season.
Yeah,
I think
agree.
They've got the car. I think this whole side pod debacle
situation yeah.
situationship is interesting. Obviously Ferrari and Aston have got huge side pods
mm.
and then obviously now we're seeing the podless car, but
the podless car,
but yeah, podless car,
the podcastless car.
Oh, hello.
No one can see this right now, but I decided to wear purple trousers especially for
and
the
I'm
pod.
Wearing pink trousers and a black top, and you're wearing purple trousers and black top.
That's crazy.
And that's why we are
There's synergy.
Guys, we have so much in common.
I know, it's crazy.
And we both have Weetabix minis for breakfast. that's the most incredible.
We both had a stray cat.
Yes. Alpine.
I feel like I don't really know anything about Alpine. Pink car, that's
pink,
it.
Pink car. I don't know.
Like, with the other teams, I don't know why this is, but I'm like, oh yeah, Mercedes, side pod situation, you know. Each team, like, has their thing.
I think you'd know, like, if you needed to know something, though.
Yeah,
know.
True. And with, like, Alpine, I feel like I'm just hearing nothing.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll be able to make it out of the midfield this year. I think every team goes into the season like, no, we're going to get out of the midfield. And yeah, then, obviously, someone has to be last.
Mm.
Do I think it's going to be Haas? Yes.
Yes. You know what? That's interesting. I actually don't think Haas are going to be last this year.
Who?
I don't know who I think is going to be last, but I think Haas are going to be... I don't think they're going to be good, but I think they're going to be a lot better than they were last
year. I mean,
it's
tough, right? Because their major financial backer...
Mm-hmm. It's gone.
It's gone. But then it's also teams like Williams who are saying, oh, we don't really need the finance. We don't need the financial backing. We're going to be really picky with our sponsors.
Mm.
Why is that?
Yeah.
You know? It's just... I think testing is always a bit... misleading,
definitely,
if you will, because until that first qualifying of the season, we don't actually know how everything's going to stack up. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm really looking forward to it. Kevin Magnussen race win, I'm saying.
So it's at this point in the podcast where we are going to do a little bit of an interactive activity.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be writing down some of our predictions for the season, embodying a Formula One driver, if you will. We're going to lock them away, we're going to seal them away, and we're going to open them come November.
December.
November.
November?
November.
Okay, November.
Is it November?
So, we've got our pieces of paper. We've got our pens. Let's get writing.
Let's go.
Do this with us. I'm going to write my name. But that's optional.
I'm going to write mine too.
Okay. The first question is the big one. It's world champ. Who do we think it's going to be? I am writing someone... who was very successful in the world of motorsports.
Are you?
I am indeed.
I'm between two.
Is it obvious?
No.
Really?
Okay, I'm between one obvious and one underdog.
Okay, I know who you're between.
Who?
Lewis Hamilton.
Okay.
And Charles Leclerc.
Interesting.
/ Carlos Sainz.
Interesting.
God, I have a lot of faith in the man I've chosen. I wrote his name down in about 2 seconds.
I'm really between two.
The next question. Biggest teammate rivalry.
I know what I'm going to put for this.
I don't. I'm between two teams.
So am I. I think we're between the same two teams.
Next up, which race do you think is going to be the most controversial?
I knew this straight away.
Right. Well, that was easy for me. All right. Biggest underdog. What do we classify as an underdog? Let's get philosophical here.
I'm classifying it as someone who we don't expect to do well, but is going to do well.
But I find expectations crazy. Because, you know, some people were rating Carlos Sainz very highly last season. Others weren't. And so he was an underdog to some people, but not to others.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do we think George is an underdog?
Mm.
He's so new.
Ooh, that's a good point.
But then it's like a cop out, because then I'll be right.
I don't see George Russell as an underdog, but I think...
He's not an overdog.
He's not an overdog. He's not an average dog either.
Maybe he's just a Roscoe. Biggest underdog for me is going to be a little certain Frenchman.
There's two.
Best race. I have one track that actually I just love. I think there's like magic in the concrete of this racetrack.
This is my favourite race. This is my favourite race last season.
Okay, I know what it is. It's Monza.
It's not Monza.
Okay, most unexpected race winner.
I will give you a clue. I'm not going to give you a clue, though.
We will be opening these on the 20th of November.
Wow, that's the last race.
Yeah. Let's do some questions from the viewers.
Yeah. Okay, Jessica asks us, what makes you both love racing so much and how did you get into it?
Do you want to start?
Yeah, sure, I can start.
Go for it.
So the first race I ever watched was the 2020 British Grand Prix, where Lewis's tyre blew on the last lap.
Love it.
Max was chasing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was my first race. I had no idea about like team radio. I didn't know any of this. So I was watching it. I was like, oh my goodness, that's crazy. Like he might not come first. Like I didn't know all the lingo then. And then I heard Max's team radio and it was like, can we win this? You know that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my goodness, you can actually hear them talk in the car. This is mental. And obviously Lewis won. Hip hip hooray. That's great.
Love that.
Lewis fan over here. No, I don't know.
Am I a Lewis fan? I'm so neutral.
I literally don't even know anymore. Anyway. And then I went back home and I was like, oh my goodness, I need to know more about this. I need to know the team. I didn't know what team radio was at the time. So I literally typed in British Grand Prix behind the scenes onto YouTube. And I was like,
what? Did it come up with?
It came up with rubbish. It came up with rubbish. But I did find in the end, like all the team radios from the race. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is insane how you can like hear the drivers speak,
mm-hmm.
how a tire can just blow like that. And mm-hmm. you can still like race. I don't know. Yeah. I just thought it was mad. And since then, I have not missed a race.
I mean, that's such a good race to watch.
It gets great first race.
Imagine your first race at Abu Dhabi 2021. Imagine this season.
That'd be so confusing, though.
But imagine this season is just so boring.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe some of those moves last season, someone must have been like, guys, come on, we've got to increase engagement here. Crash.
Yeah.
But some of those crashes, yeah. I just are so, like, insanely dramatic.
Mm.
Imagine this season is really dull.
Yeah, imagine. All of this hype.
Well, that is a good race to watch. I don't remember the first... I wish I had a cool story to be like, oh, this was the first race I watched. I just remember following Formula One. And then a couple of years ago, I just started watching a race here and there. And then in 2020, started watching it again properly.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, it's just gone up from there. Question for me
is,
what is your opinion on the way Drive to Survive portrays the sport, represents the sport, is actually the word.
I feel like everyone knows Drive to Survive is dramatic.
Yeah.
Everyone knows, you know, it's exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it would be a boring series if it wasn't. I think that if it wasn't dramatic, it would only intrigue already Formula One fans to watch.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, it's ridiculous, the radios that they used from, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's ridiculous. Like, it's dramatic like enough that you can...
Like, the car sounds, yeah, you know.
The wheel gun noises.
Yes.
But it's dramatic enough as a sport that you don't need that, I feel like.
I agree in the sense of last season. I think the three seasons before the one that's just come out were so insanely twisted. But actually, there was so much drama last season that we just got to see a bit behind the scenes about, you know, Christian and Toto. And that was cool to me. I just don't like how, obviously, a TV show, whether it's about a sport, whether it's about friends, whatever it is, it has to have some kind of story and some kind of resolution.
Yeah.
And so for me, what pissed me off was the way that they, specifically the way they represented Daniel.
Mm.
I really did not appreciate the narrative of all the journalists, everyone that was talking in the show about, you know, McLaren's just signed Daniel Ricciardo, definitely world champion material, you know, big expectations of Daniel Ricciardo. That's not true.
Mm.
I don't think when Daniel went to McLaren, everyone was like, yes, he's still world champion material. I mean, maybe that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But then obviously, he really struggled before Monza and actually after Monza as well. Of course, that's going to look like a major drop in his performance when, no, he didn't have the best season. But I think hyping up those expectations in a show where, you know, the music's all, like, imagine if they actually played the music they play during the races.
Yeah.
It would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then it just made it look like this big failure on his part and this redemption of Monza. When I think if we were going to talk about Daniel's season, yeah, he had a pretty average season. He had a great win.
Mm.
But I don't know, it just seems a bit imbalanced to me.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it definitely is important to have a story.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is that it gives people opinions before they watch the real thing.
Yeah.
And they already know and have their opinions on the drivers before they know what it's like in real life.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's one of the problems of Drive to Survive. Mm-hmm. But then again, that's happened with every series.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm just biased towards F1.
Do you know what? I did have a great time watching it. I laughed.
Yeah.
You know, good. You know what was so hilarious. Funny?
I found this so funny. You know, at the start when Nikita Mazepin has F1 team.
Honestly,
and then he was like,
say it in Russian.
Can you do it in Russian? And he said, Nikita Mazepin has F1 team. Oh, I actually laughed about that.
Honestly, Günther Steiner though, he is.
Oh, he is so nice.
The funniest man.
I love him. Okay, question from me, from the man himself, Ollie Caldwell. Best F2 driver on TikTok?
I'd say Liam Lawson. Yeah. I mean, there's only really one answer to that, isn't there? The fact that he agreed to make Uncut Gems with me shows what a good sport Ollie Caldwell is.
Absolutely.
You know, not many drivers would do that.
You heard it here first. Obviously. Ollie Caldwell is the best F2 driver on TikTok.
He is.
I mean, that's, yeah.
At Ollie Caldwell. Love it. I love this question. What advice would you give to yourself 5 years ago?
Wow, that's a big question.
I love the question.
It's great, isn't it?
From Jake.
From Jake. Jake, I would say...
What would you say?
I would say just enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone says that. But at the same time, if you're not enjoying what you're doing, don't do it. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's so difficult.
Just like, do it.
Obviously, I'm talking in like the grand scheme of things. Yeah. Like, I know people do jobs that they don't want to do.
Yeah.
And I understand that. But with things you can control in your life, just do it because you love it.
Yeah, I agree.
And don't let other people stop you from doing it because they disagree.
17-year-old me, I want to just give her a hug. Mm. She was about to go through so much, but she was fine and it worked out the way it was meant to, and everything in my life happened for some reason to make sure that I was here now recording this podcast episode with you.
That's crazy, isn't it? Butterfly effect.
Exactly. I have so many things I would say to her. Just, I don't think I knew who I was at 17. I think now I'm like, I'm so comfortable in myself. But I think at that point, something I wish I had remembered is ask yourself if you like the people you're around. Don't always make it, oh my God, am I good enough for these people? Am I funny enough to be around them and hang out with them, whatever? And then I would say also learn how to be alone and enjoy your own company. And I think COVID really helped me with that. But it's something I wish I had like implemented into my life earlier on, mm-hmm. You know.
I've got another question. How was the experience at Aston Martin?
It was life-changing.
It was, honestly, and I'm sure I can speak for you on this as well.
No,
it was,
you can't.
It was one of the most incredible and mind-blowing like experiences ever.
It was just crazy.
I was so, so nervous before.
Yeah.
Like going in the car on the way, the day before, I lost my appetite. I couldn't eat. Like the morning in the car, I was shaking. I was so nervous.
I was so nervous to meet you as well.
Oh yeah, me too. And look at us now.
What was your first impression of me?
Oh my goodness, I thought you were beautiful.
No, stop.
Honestly, I know, we're being such girls right now.
I felt such calmness from your presence. Genuinely, I was like, oh, she's here, thank God. And I'd never met you before.
Oh, that's so sweet.
The first video I ever saw of you, I've told you this before, is F1, sponsored by Workday.
Oh, that, wait,
like,
let me do it.
Quite funny. Yeah, go on, give us a go.
Sky Sports F1, sponsored by Workday, a system for finance, HR and planning.
Addition to get you involved in that.
Sign me up.
Aston Martin was amazing.
Yeah, it was so cool.
I will look back on that for the rest of my career, wherever I go.
I still look at my camera roll just for fun.
Oh, me too.
Just to look back at those times. And, you know, there's this one video, I put it on TikTok, of me standing next to Sebastian Vettel. And I must have watched that about 100 times over, because I'm like, this is not real. Before we move on,
yeah,
Hülkenberg.
We got Nico Hülkenberg to join TikTok.
Guys, imagine me explaining the, are you new here? Trend
he was
to
like,
Nico.
I was like, you've got to go. Why did I do American accent? You've got to go best friend.
Yeah, literally.
He was literally like, what does this mean?
I know.
And we got him to join TikTok, which is very cool.
I know, it was. We watched the birth of his TikTok account, which is great.
That is a highlight of my life.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was such a good question. This question's from Hayes. Do you think colour is important in F1?
Oh, that was my question.
No way.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, we can share this question. How does it play a role in teams and marketing? Ferrari being the famous red and Aston Martin's iconic colour, obviously green.
Whoever asked this question, thank you. It got me thinking so much.
Yeah, it got me thinking too, because obviously now I'm an F1 fan, right? In the past, I'd see colours. Yeah, okay. Now, if I'm out and about, right, and I see, like, British Racing green, right, or it's just green, like, shop window, I'm like, oh, Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Or I see something that's orange and blue, oh, McLaren. Even if it's, like, the most random, if it's a pot that I'm cooking
that bin.
With, that bin over there.
Ferrari.
It's like, I don't know if that's the F1 fan in me or the really, really good marketing from each team.
I think it's both.
Yeah,
I think it's even when I said to you the other day, I was like, what should I wear to this thing next week? And I said, oh, but it's all red, will people think I'm way too Ferrari? The fact that that has been distilled into, am I being too Ferrari,
yeah.
is Genius. I said this last night. No one would ever make a red car. If you made a red car, you would just be like really stupid for it. You know, no one can compete with that red.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's lots of blue cars. You know, Alpine is blue, AlphaTauri is blue. There's more blue cars. Williams is blue, but no one touches red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's yeah. really cool to me.
Yeah. Not just because I went to the launch and everything, but Aston Martin green colour is honestly one of my favourite colours. I think it's so nice. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. How do you deal with hate being a female content creator? I don't know if this person meant this in terms of being a female content creator or just a content creator in general. Mm. I find I get the most hate on videos where I talk about being a woman. Christian on a video.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That video was beautifully made, by the way.
Thank you. I haven't watched it since I put it up. I just use it as fuel, to be honest. I think it's so easy to make a fake profile, a little unknown user, and just say nasty things.
Yeah.
And actually, it would be so easy for me to give those people that power.
I think being on social media, in like, not to say my audience was ever big, but posting YouTube videos since I was 13, which if you think about it, 13 is so young.
8 years.
Yeah, eight years. I feel like I just learned growing up to not care what people think. Mm. And I have this thing, I only really care about people's opinion if I either look up to them, it's someone in my life, and it's someone I would take advice from. Just hate comments, though. I just think, if I don't know you, I actually don't care what you think.
Yeah, that's so fair.
And that's kind of just how I look at it. If someone says something so ridiculous, just block them.
Well, last question. I ask everyone that comes on podcasts, what's your hottest take for 2022?
Oh.
Hottest prediction, hotter the better.
I'm going to say George Russell.
Is world champion.
George Russell, world champion. I was going to say George Russell second, but that's not even that crazy.
I would say George Russell wins in Bahrain.
Oh.
He knows that he did so well there in 2020.
The Sakhir Grand Prix, right. One of my Right, so I have my favourite from last season.
Yeah.
Season before, I feel like Sakhir just blends in with last season. Yeah. But the Sakhir Grand Prix was one of my favourite races. I hated it because George Russell was, you know, that situation with him wasn't great. But in terms of being a good race, that was so good.
I reckon he could win it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to say Kevin Magnussen race win.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love him. K-Mag.
Well, Hannah, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Let's do it again soon.
100%.
Well, as ever, what a treat. That was seriously so nice to sit down with Hannah, to get to chat to her even more, get to know her even better. And like I said at the beginning of this podcast episode, truly one of the most gracious women I have ever met. And I'm sure you can all see that even more now. Let us know what you thought of the podcast over on my socials at Lizzie McIntosh, and of course my guest socials at F1 Hannah on TikTok. Guys, I am wishing you all the very best for this weekend. Enjoy it. We've earned it. We got through the winter break. So have a great weekend, and I will chat to you all very, very soon. Lots of love.